Hi everyone, it's Gavin J, the best thing since the pond. And you're listening to Therapy Suite right here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. This week I speak to Karen G, who has for the past 11 years run Cycle Sprog, an information website about family cycling, which mentions the benefits of bike riding too. Karen, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Hello, Gavin. I'm fine, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on the show. Karen, tell us a bit about your background and how you got to where you are today. And you know, how did Cycle Sprog come about?
Well, I've always ridden a bike. It's been my main way of getting around ever since I was 14 and got my first bike. And then I got pregnant and had two babies. And suddenly I realized it was a lot more complicated. And my eldest is now 17. So 17 years ago, the internet wasn't as it is now. There wasn't so much information. And I really, really struggled to work out even if I could cycle with my children. And when I discovered that you could, I then discovered that every time you get it working, they grow and you have to do something else. So it was quite frustrating. And I thought, well, maybe I'll start a blog and just write about this so that other people will not have to go through all the research that I'm going through. So my husband came up with the name Cycle Sprog, and we just started blogging really about what we were doing. And My eldest was about four, my youngest was two at the time. And over the years, it just grew. I mean, I had no idea how much it was going to grow, but I started getting brands getting in touch and saying, would you like to review this product? And I just sort of thought in my head, oh, once they start riding their own bikes, you know, that will be it. And then I didn't actually realize, quite naively, that it got far more complicated the moment they wanted to ride their own bikes. So it's just kept on going. And now it's the leading information resource on kids' bikes and family cycling in the UK. And we've got a global audience as well. And we write advice articles, we review products, we recommend places to ride, and we just generally encourage and help families who want to cycle together.
That's fantastic.
So yes.
Oh, brilliant stuff. Do you ever go on those bike rides? You know, you've got like a community bike rides, or the bike riding community, they do like little marathons, or they do like nice little bike trips. Do you yourself and your family do any of that?
We did. I mean, we've now reached the point where I can't keep up with my kids, unfortunately. It's quite sad. But when they were younger, they used to love those sorts of things. You can go to different places, ride on different terrains, meet different people. And we belong to our local cycle club as well. So the boys have done a lot of cycling with them as well, which helps develop their skills and their confidence and make friends and have fun at the same time.
Fantastic. Sounds brilliant. What do you think are the main health benefits of, you know, getting your children to cycle?
Well, I think the obvious one is it's the physical activity, isn't it? I mean, we live in an era where, you know, children are getting, you know, fatter, diabetes
social media,
is coming to the fore,
always on
social
the phone.
Media, yeah, always on the devices. And parents, I think, you know, most parents are desperate. How can I get my kids outside and doing some activity? And riding a bike is just such good fun and is accessible for most children to be able to cycle from quite a young age. I think, is it 60 minutes a day activity? Sort of the recommended amount of activity that
something
children
like
should
that.
Be going.
Yeah.
You know, so if you can build, if you manage to build cycling into your everyday life, and, you know, maybe cycling to school or cycling to after school clubs and things like that, that's an easy way to increase the amount of activity that they're doing. Or you might be doing it at the weekend and in holidays. That side of the physical activity is really good. And then there's the mental health benefits as well, because obviously, you know, that's a growing ish concern as well, isn't it? You know, children's mental health and just getting them outside, fresh air. You know, there's the positive benefits of exercise, but just engaging with nature, having a way of just leaving all the screens and all the worries behind as well, I think is one of the powers of getting out on a bicycle. So it's definitely got those benefits. And I know teachers often say that if children have cycled to school, their attention span is better as well. They've had that chance, at the beginning of the day to get rid of some energy, some excess energy. And then when they arrive at school, they're ready to learn rather than just being cooped up, maybe in a car and then getting out the car and still be desperate to do something physical. So it's got sort of a myriad of health benefits, physically and mentally.
Absolutely. No, it sounds brilliant. I'm guessing during COVID, did yourselves go out much on the bike at that time as well?
Personally, we didn't because we got COVID and then long COVID. So our sort of COVID story is slightly different. It was a booming time for cycling, though. Especially, you know, like, for example, in the UK, here in the UK, cycling was one of the very few activities that was allowed to be done. So I know a lot of families at that time got the bikes out the shed and actually discovered some of the benefits and enjoyment of cycling. And hopefully many of them will remember that and carry it on. I mean, I know times have changed and life gets busy again, but just remembering that ability to get out and be free and enjoy yourself out on the bikes is so important.
100%. And also I think it gave the opportunity for families to spend more time together as well, rather than, because, you know, the fast paced lifestyle we all lead, it's like, and you're here, there, and everywhere. And I think more people came together at that point as well, more so. There's also health benefits for parents as well, isn't there?
Absolutely. You know, all the benefits I've just said obviously apply to the parents as well. Also, I think one of the things you've mentioned it, the busy lifestyle. And I think we all think, oh, yes, I'm going to do some exercise and maybe go to the gym, that sort of thing. But when you're a parent, life is so busy that actually if you can incorporate exercise with what you're doing with your kids, whether that's fun things at the weekend or whether it's, traveling around your transport, it's almost you're killing two birds with one stone almost. And I know, you know, I've always said, oh, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to do more stuff, but you just don't have the time. You know, by the time the kids have gone to bed, you're exhausted. And the last thing you want to do sometimes is go out to the gym. So that has benefits. And then also I found that when my kids were really little and I was sort of pulling them and carrying them on the bike, so maybe I had a trailer behind me or had them on bike seats. I mean, my glutes have never been firmer because you're carrying this heavy weight that's getting heavier every day. So I really, really was super fit at that point in my sort of parenting and cycling journey. That was, you know, before e-bikes. So nowadays you have got the benefit of e-bikes, which means that it does make cycling more accessible if you are having to carry or pull your children, because you can get an e-bike to help with it. And even, I mean, I say even, but riding an e-bike is also good effort, physically, because you do have to put in some effort. It's not a free ride, but it just helps you.
Absolutely,
on the hills or when you've got a heavier load. And then I think another benefit for parents can be if you're going to cycle and replace your car journeys, then you're actually saving money. So you're not having to pay for parking, you're not having to pay for petrol. I know a lot of families now who are replacing the family car, either the second car or their main car, with a cargo bike or with the family cycling equipment and kids bikes. And it frees up quite a lot of cash, which then, you know, at this time of, you know, people are quite worried and struggling, it means you can spend that money on other things, potentially better food, reduces a little bit the stress of, you know, the cost of living as well. So,
absolutely.
Myriad of benefits of cycling.
Yeah, no, of course. I think there's some businesses or employers that have incentives as well for bikes. People can actually get bikes free or something.
Here in the UK, there's a thing called Cycle to Work Scheme. So yes, your employer has to sign up for that. And then it's not free, but it's a very subsidised way of getting a bike. And I think the money comes out your payroll. Just a really cost-effective way of getting bikes for yourself. Unfortunately, it doesn't cover everything. So it doesn't cover, for example, family cargo bikes. But we're hoping that at some point the rules will change and then you can get a wider range of bikes on it. But again, that's a great way to spread the cost and get a big subsidy against your tax bill for it.
Absolutely, yeah. I think you get quite a significant discount off the bike apparently as well or something.
Yes, yeah. And there's numerous schemes. So each scheme, you know, the employer signs up to a particular scheme, but they're all more or less the same. You you log on, you pick the bike that you're looking at, work with the supplier to get it, find the best deal and get it delivered to your house, or pick it up at a local supplier, and they'll be able to talk you through, there's experts on hand to talk you through what's going to be the best bike for your circumstances. It's a really, really good scheme. And I think if your employer doesn't offer it, you're based in the UK, you should be asking them about it and why they don't offer it.
Absolutely. I mean, practically speaking, logistically, I mean, how easy is it for parents or people that work, etc., to fit in bike riding to their lifestyle?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's all priorities, isn't it? So, we managed to fit in a lot of sort of doom scrolling on our phones and that sort of thing, and watching Netflix and all that. So some of the time it's a priority, depending on what type of cycling you're doing as well is how you fit it in. So at the weekends, if you're using cycling, as a leisure activity, it's blocking that time out and saying, right, this Saturday we're going for a bike ride, or in the holidays this is what we're going to do. If you are going to use cycling as a way of getting around and a means of transport, then it's much easier actually to fit in, because it's just how you get around, and you start to say, right, well, I need to go to the school, so I'm cycling there. And quite often, because our roads aren't built to carry the amount of traffic that's now on most of them, it can actually be a lot quicker. People often are surprised, actually, gosh, I get everywhere so much quicker now I'm cycling, because I don't have to sit in traffic jams anymore. I don't have to find a parking space. I don't have to go and fill up with fuel. So in terms of fitting it in, once you've got the basics sorted, and you know what you're doing, and you're organized enough to get your kids out the door, on the bikes, then it can be, net neutral or even quicker.
Absolutely. We're just going to a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
So Karen, I mean, it sounds brilliant, people getting out on their bikes, the family, etc. What age can parents start to think about getting their children interested in cycling?
That's a good question. Yes. I mean, if we go right back to the very beginning, you can actually cycle in pregnancy. Government, yeah, absolutely. The government's guidelines around it are that if you're fit and healthy and you're having a normal pregnancy, obviously, and your midwife and doctor are happy, then gentle cycling is perfectly acceptable during pregnancy. A lot of people find that as you get bigger and walking can become quite uncomfortable, and some people have issues that makes walking very uncomfortable in pregnancy. Sometimes riding a bike is actually easier than walking. Obviously you wouldn't want to go and do downhill mountain biking or cycling
no.
the velodrome and racing and everything, but just gentle leisure cycling or traveling, cycling for transport can be fine. I wouldn't recommend it if you've never ridden a bike. I wouldn't say, go out and start learning to ride a bike at 7 months pregnant, but if it's something you've always done, then you can carry on. Once you've got the baby, you can start cycling with a cargo bike literally from birth if the cargo bike takes a child carrier. So the sort of car seat type thing that you would put a baby in, some cargo bikes will accept those, and they've got all the fittings, the ISOFIT fittings for them. So you could literally start cycling from birth, which is what parents do if they are car free and they're committed to a cycling lifestyle, then they'll use cargo bikes like that. When it comes to your child riding their own bike, you can get little ride-ons for them, sort of toddle bikes, they're also known as, from as soon as they can toddle. So it really depends, if you said about a year, 18 months, they can start sort of pushing themselves around. Then they move on to balance bikes at the age of about two, and then they're away and, through to, 100, you can really start cycling with them. If you want to carry them on your bike, because obviously for the first few years, they're not going to be able to ride themselves. Usually a bike seat is from about the age of 9 months when they can hold their head up and they've not got the floppy neck syndrome. So that's usually the guidelines. And similar with a trailer, if you want to pull them behind you in a trailer, they just have to be able to support their head weight.
Oh, gosh. How old were your children when you started getting them into bikes?
Well, I mean, like I said at the beginning, I didn't know when I had my eldest that you could cycle with your children. So it wasn't until he was about 18 months old that I discovered that these bike seats existed and I could use them. So I've sort of missed out a little bit on him. But from that age, I had him in a rear bike seat. And then when I had my second one, we got a trailer. So I used that from as soon as my child could support his head, my second one. So from about 18 months old. So they've been cycling since then. And we used it as our main form of getting to nursery and getting them to school and to playgroup and that kind of thing, just for all our local journeys. And they just carried on doing that. And I mean, now my eldest, he's a massive cyclist. He does it for leisure. He just loves riding his bike. My second one uses it more as transport. He uses it just to get around and go and see his friends and go to the football pitch and that sort of thing. But the eldest does that and then also uses it as a leisure activity as well.
Do you have family friends that are into their biking as well and their children?
Or yes,
they might be grown up.
Yeah, well, I guess I run a cycling website, so I know a lot of people who do who do it. But then again, I know a lot of people who don't necessarily do it as much as we do. And when I talk to them about it, it's often that something happened when the kids were younger and it put them off cycling, and we can talk about that. You know, what are some of the do's and don'ts around cycling, and then it's surprising that people then sort of go, oh well, this happened years ago, and then they don't follow it through and go, well, actually that was, you know, something happened 5 years ago, it doesn't mean that your child doesn't enjoy riding a bike. You know, it's time to give it another go.
No, absolutely. I think also, I mean, I've spoken to some people and they have maybe a little incident, you know, when they're younger, in their teens or maybe early 20s or whatever it might be. And they don't feel as confident about getting back on. What would you say to someone? I mean, you've mentioned a few things, but what would you say to someone that says that? What would you kind of advice would you give them?
Well, if it's an adult who's feeling a bit nervous, then I would absolutely say get yourself confident before you start trying to go out with your kids. And there's a great scheme called Bikeability, who do lessons. They go into schools and do, children's lessons and teach them to ride on the road. But they also do family sessions and they can do adult sessions, or find a local cycle instructor. And you might just need one or two sessions with them. Quite often they're run through local cycle clubs or local councils, as well as local bikeability schemes. And sometimes it just needs somebody to go out with you, remind you of the basics, give you a bit of confidence, talk to you about route planning as well, because I think a lot of people think that if you're going to go out and ride a bike and you want to go from A to B, you'd go the route that you drive. And that can be quite scary because you think, oh, I don't want to cycle on that road. But quite often, if you're careful with your route planning, you find all the little cut throughs and the traffic free routes, and it can be quite different. So get yourself confident first. And then if it's your child who's had a bit of a wobble, what we often find is that the child, quite a lot of parents buy bikes that are not suitable for the child. So a big, big issue that we see is people buying a bike that's too big, because they'll be like, oh, you know, I'll get one and they'll grow into it. But if you think about it, if you, Gavin, went on a bike ride on a bike that was just too big for you and you couldn't get your feet on the ground and you couldn't reach the brakes and, you know, you'd be terrified. It would be an absolute nightmare, wouldn't it? And then people put little kids on these bikes and then the kids have a tantrum and say, I hate it. And then it's like, well, that was a waste of money, because the child will remember, I don't like that bike. It doesn't make me feel safe. So even when they've grown into it, they won't want to ride it. So if that has happened, then it's really important that the next time, you know, your child is on a properly sized bike for them, it's not too big. The other thing that we see is there's a lot of very, very heavy bikes out there. They're kind of designed with cartoon characters on and that sort of thing. And they're designed as toys and they're designed to appeal to children. And at the smaller end of the scale, they're so heavy, there's such a high proportion of the child's body weight that it would be the equivalent of, you know, if you trying to lift and ride a bike that's, you know, a third or a half of your body weight, again, it would be almost impossible. So that puts kids off as well, because they just cannot actually ride the bike. So we always recommend going for a proper bike that's designed to be a bike rather than a toy, to then make sure that if you've got a properly sized bike and a lightweight bike that's designed to be ridden. Quite often with the toy bikes as well, you'll find the brakes don't work very well, the wheels don't spin very well, the tyres are plastic, so it's not a comfortable ride. And it generally puts the kids off. So if you can get those basics right, then usually children really enjoy cycling. And then I guess the final bit would be finding somewhere safe to ride, you know, and just making sure that, you know, you're... You've got somewhere, you know, if it's your child, you know, if you're taking them to the park, you know, make sure there's not like loads of dogs running around that they're going to get chased by, or make sure, you know, just make sure you're not got a whole load of traffic around, or you're not putting, you know, just putting them into a situation where they don't feel comfortable and safe.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's like with anything, isn't it? You start off, you know, low level, maybe very short distances, flat ground, obviously. And, you know, build yourself into it. It doesn't have to be for a long ride. You could go to the local park or wherever it might be, 10, 15 minutes and that kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and then it can build up with the younger kids. The other thing at the other end of the spectrum is the kids start to get a bit older is sometimes kind of like biting off more than you can chew. So people might be on holiday and they'll go, oh, we'll rent some bikes and we'll go to a mountain bike center and we'll go, oh yes, we can go and do this graded route, and then you get halfway along it and you discover actually nobody in the family can actually ride what we're set out to do. So again, it's and then that can put people off and scare them, adults and children. So again, it's just making sure that you're capable of riding the things that you choose.
Absolutely.
If
someone is listening to this show and is wanting to start cycling as a family, how would you suggest they go about this?
Well, obviously, I would recommend coming to the Cycles Blog website. We've got huge amounts of advice for people from, you know, all different ages as to how to get into it. But I think one of the things that people often think is, oh, well, I've got to go out and buy a whole load of equipment and that's going to be really expensive. But what we cover on the website is that you don't actually necessarily have to do that. There's different ways you can quite often rent equipment, especially if you're wanting to try something out for the first time, like say a trailer or a particular bike. There's plenty of places these days where you can go and rent them, test it out. There's also things called family cycling libraries and bike libraries popping up around the country where you can go and get hold of equipment for a short-term loan. And then the second-hand market as well is really buoyant, you know, because kids grow so quickly, you know, you don't need to go out and spend a fortune. And the other thing is, if you know people doing it, cyclists are usually really evangelical and want more people to do it. So if you know someone in your neighborhood who is doing it and you might be interested, you know, have a word with them. And, I know I let people try out our equipment, you know, quite happily, because it's like, yeah, I want more people to do this. So it's worth asking around as well. Yeah. And then, like we've said before, I think once you've got your equipment, it's starting slowly, like you say, not going off and trying to do anything crazy. I always say, make sure that you're really comfortable without your kids. So, you know, we've talked about, you know, make sure, you know, if you need lessons, you've got some lessons, or you've got that confidence. Even if you're thinking for the first time, right, I'm going to use a trailer or I'm going to use a bike seat, go out without the kids, make sure you're really comfortable riding, understanding. I always say put a big bag of potatoes in place of the kid, and then you'll get used to what it's like pulling or carrying your child. And then introduce bring the child in when you're comfortable yourself, because they will pick up if you're sort of nervous or stressed, and you don't want to add that layer of complexity to it. And then start small, you don't have to go on massive adventures or anything like that. You know, kids love going on bikes. This is what I found. So, you know, even just going around the block, going to the local park, you know, cycling for a short distance, they really, really enjoy it. And then you can build from there.
Sounds good. Sounds brilliant. Are there any key mistakes people should avoid when starting out?
I've mentioned a couple around the bike weight is really, and the buying the bike is really important. I would also say don't pressurize your child into learning to pedal. A lot of parents do that. They're kind of like, right, you are four, and the kid down the road learned to ride at four, and therefore you need to learn to ride at four. Every child is different. So they need to have the cognitive ability to ride a bike and the physical ability. And that can come in children any age between about 3 and, you know, 7, 8. Most children can learn to pedal between the ages of 4 and 5, but some take longer. So don't put the pressure on them. A really good way to get them into cycling is to use a balance bike, which I don't know whether you've heard of them, Gavin, but they're bikes without pedals. So you literally sort of you sit on the saddle and then you scoot along, and they're absolutely brilliant for getting kids riding, because they learn to move, they learn to travel at speed, they learn to stop, and they learn to balance. And balance is a really key part of learning to ride a bike. I don't know about you, but I certainly learned with stabilizers back in the day. And what stabilizers do is they remove that learning to balance, because you're turning a bike essentially into a trike, because you've got two wheels at the back. And then your child sort of learns to counterbalance on with stabilizers. And then when you remove the stabilizers, they'll topple over when they try and go around a corner. Whereas with a balance bike, they learn the balance, they learn to corner, they learn to steer, and then all they need to do is learn how to pedal. So that's a really big piece of advice, would be, unless your child needs stabilizers. And there's a small proportion of children who will do, because they've got balance issues or maybe additional needs, which means they need the stabilizers in place. The vast majority of children will come on much better with the balance bike and then introduce pedals when they're ready.
Sounds good. Mm. Sounds fantastic. Just going to another quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
So thanks for that, Karen. You know, it's interesting to hear about, you know, the mistakes that can be made and how best to resolve those. I mean, are there any safety issues that people should be aware of when, you know, when cycling with children?
Yes. I mean, obviously, there's a few issues you need to be aware of. I think number one is making sure that their bikes are well maintained. Very, very important. So there's a thing called an M-check before you go out on a bike ride, and you just check your bike and sort of doing a big letter M. So you start with the wheels, make sure the wheels are attached, make sure you haven't got punctures, make sure you haven't got any broken spokes, and then you work up and down the bike, making sure the saddle's not loose, the brakes are working, the gears are working, the pedals are not loose. And it takes moments, but if you get into a good habit of doing that, then you won't have any issues. It depends a lot on the type of cycling you're doing, as to how dangerous it is. So if you are doing downhill mountain biking, then that's very dangerous. And I would recommend that you wear, you know, armor and helmets and full face helmets and all that sort of thing. And if you're racing at the velodrome, there'll be certain safety standards and safety equipment that you'll need to use. But in general, you know, gentle leisure cycling or cycling for daily transport shouldn't be that dangerous once your child has learnt to ride and for yourself. You know, there's you know, reasonably limited risk. I think there's a big perception about and obviously the safety of cycling in amongst traffic, which is why one of the things we do at CycleSprog is really campaign to have better infrastructure so that families can cycle safely, and in an ideal world children would be able to cycle safely to school, not in with the traffic. So there are, you know, issues if you live in an area which isn't lucky enough to have that sort of infrastructure, then there are issues around teaching them to ride in traffic, and what age are they able to cope with that. So there are those issues. And there's other issues, like if you're cycling on a very hot day, make sure that they're hydrated and they've got relevant sunblock on and that sort of thing. In the cold weather, making sure that they're warm. And if you're carrying your children, so if they're in a rear seat or a front seat or a trailer, for example, or in a cargo bike, they're not moving, so their core temperature will get lower. So you have to remember to put extra layers on them. You might be, you know, hot and sweaty because you're cycling them up a hill, but they could quite quickly be losing their body temperature. So there's things like that to remember as well.
What kind of, what would you say some of the brands are in terms of for safety, like, you know, the armor someone might wear? What do you know some of the brands that might be best for people to look into?
I wouldn't recommend armor unless you're doing sort of proper mountain biking, because it can actually get in the way. It can also, you mean like elbow pads, knee pads?
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
They actually make it quite hard to pedal. So, your child, unless they're going really, really fast, or unless they're doing jumps. So if they're going to a bike park and they're doing jumps and things like that, then they're going to need those sort of arm pads. I mean, we use one called G-Form, but there's lots of different ones on the market. But in general, that's quite specialist cycling. In general, your child will find it much easier if they don't have that sort of thing on, because then they'll be able to move their arms and their legs much more easily. If you're worried about them sort of falling off and scraping themselves and stuff, then making sure that they've got long trousers on, you know, made of a robust fabric will be better, that they're not going to scrape themselves and get as many cuts and bruises. But generally, if they're riding on reasonably flat level surfaces and not doing tricks and not doing jumps, then making sure they've got that sort of skin covered, and making sure they're wearing proper shoes as well. That's an interesting one. I quite often see people letting their kids ride with no shoes on at all, which is going to be quite painful.
Yeah.
And they need to put their feet down to start, you know, when they've stopped, and that sort of thing, or wearing, which is potentially even more dangerous, sort of flip-floppy type, you know, shoes and sliders and that sort of thing, where the feet can come off of out the shoe, and then that can cause issues as well. So it's thinking about things like that. The other thing is sort of trailing fabrics, so making sure they're not wearing, you know, a skirt with loads and loads of flowing fabric that's going to get caught in the chain, that might cause an issue, or tassels or other things that might get caught in the mechanics of a bike. So having sort of slightly closer fitting materials, or, you know, if they were wearing flares, I don't know, kids don't wear flares, I guess. If their flares made a fashion comeback, you know, tucking flares into socks and that sort of thing, so that they don't get caught. And shoelaces, that's another one as well. I always tuck my shoelaces into the shoe so that they don't get caught in the chain as I'm cycling along.
That makes a lot of sense. Mm. What about families where not everyone is physically able to ride a bicycle? Is there any way of them getting around that?
Yes, that's a good question, because not everybody is able to ride a standard pedal bike. Depending on the age of the child, cargo bikes are a good way of moving around smaller children, especially box cargo bikes where they sit in a box at the front of your bike, but they are quite expensive. There are some children and some adults as well struggle with the pedaling motion. So that's where balance bikes can come in handy, where you can move along with more of a walking motion and scooting motion. Some people require just a normal bike, but with stabilizers, because they've got issues with balance. So you've got the two scenarios there. Some people can't pedal, some people can't balance. And you can get some bikes that are specified for pedal stabilizers for older children and for adults. And you can buy adult stabilizers and big children stabilizers. And then if there's more complex needs, you can get adapted bicycles, which are designed for a multitude of different additional needs. And there are specialist companies out there who can build those bikes. And quite often there's funding available. There's two really good organizations, which are in the UK, which are Wheels for All, who have a network of clubs around the country, and they have equipment, and then you can go along and borrow it and go on bike rides, and they will have adaptive cycles of all different types, hand cycles, recumbents, tandems, all sorts of different cycles that can be used by people with different disabilities and additional needs. And then there's another organization called Charlotte's Tandems, which loan out, do long-term loans of tandems and other equipment that families need to enable them to cycle. So and I know a lot of people discover that they thought they would never be able to ride a bicycle and enjoy that joy of cycling, and then when they get involved with some of these organizations, they're overwhelmed with how much freedom and joy it can bring them. There are some organizations as well which do tandems for visually impaired people as well, so you can be on the back and you can have a guide riding you at the front.
Oh,
a sighted guide. So there's a lot more opportunity, I think, than people necessarily initially think. It obviously takes a bit of research and finding out what's available in your local area.
Absolutely. I mean, bikes, they can be expensive, can they, or not? I mean, I don't know.
Bikes can be really expensive. It's like anything. If you want to, you can spend a fortune on bikes. But at the other end of the scale, you can also get cycling quite quickly. With children's bikes, I mean, one of the good things is that because children are always growing, there is always a constant throughput of people looking to get rid of their old bikes and move on to the next size. So it's always worth checking out your local Facebook groups, your local, even just speaking to people, friends, family, people at the school gate who are looking to move up to the next size bike. And then places like eBay can be a good way of getting a cheap bike. I mean, I always recommend getting a secondhand decent bike rather than a cheap new bike. Because there's some very, very cheap kids' bikes out there which have all the issues I discussed before about being too heavy, and some of them are just, really not designed to last. And if you're buying a bike, you want it to last the duration for your child. There's also, in the kids' cycling world, a way of leasing a bike, like a long-term lease as well. There's a company called the Bike Club, which we've got a lot of detail about that on the Cycle Sprog website, which explains how it works. But you essentially pay a monthly rental fee, and then you replace the bike, you send the bike back, and you upgrade it as the child grows, so that you don't actually have to go through the one-off cost of buying a bike. And then the other way to get into it is, if you're kind of like, do you know what, I'm only going to use a bike a couple of times a year when we're on holiday, is to lease it, rent it when you go on holiday. Lots of holiday destinations will have bike hire places. So yes, there's it's one of those things you can, like I say, you can spend a fortune, or absolutely, you can be quite savvy and do it a lot cheaper.
No, absolutely. I mean, in Central now, you see the bikes everywhere that you can hire, isn't it? There's loads of these bikes that you can just take for a little ride in Central London, or and there's some biking places, just generally speaking, like Cambridge is quite a big biking place. I'm guessing you can go down there and hire bikes if you want to go for a ride.
Absolutely, yes. And finding bike shops as well who are happy to let you try out different equipment as well, because that's part of the problem when you're cycling with younger kids, is you need to try out what's actually going to work for you as a family. And I think from an expense perspective as well, you've already mentioned at the start of the show, the bike to work scheme as well. So that's another really good way.
Yep.
If you're able to access that funding as well, that can be a really good way.
What's a good brand for maybe a child? It doesn't have, that has a balance in terms of costings, where it's not too expensive, it's not too cheap, it's kind of in the middle, but it's a good bike to start with. Is there certain brands out there?
There's loads of brands. I mean, and we've got them all on our website. And what we've got on our website is we've got a bike finder. So you can go on the website and you can put in your child's age, their inside leg measurement. You can even put their favorite color, and then it'll come back with all the different brands, because there's an awful lot of them. And the thing to remember is that even some of the premium brands, you can get them cheap secondhand. So it's kind of like, actually it's worth looking at the premium bikes if you're looking secondhand as well. But there's, they're almost like three different price brackets. So you've got your, kind of, this is all in the UK. Some of the brands are available, worldwide. But you've got your sort of in-house brands. So Decathlon have got a range called Between. They're good entry-level bikes. Go Outdoors have got Wild bikes. Halfords have got Carrera bikes. So you've got those sort of entry-level, but they're designed as proper bikes. They're not designed as toys. Then you've got specific adult bike brands, which are, you know, worldwide big brands who've got kids' bikes. So you've got people like Trek, you've got Giant, you've got Specialized. They all do really good kids bikes. And then you've got a lot of brands who are bespoke kids bike brands, who do nothing but design bikes for kids. And therefore they tend to be, you know, have extra features and be really well thought through in design as well. So you've got brands like Woom from Austria, you've got Frog Bikes from the UK, you've got Isla Bikes, you've got Black Mountain, you've got Hornet Bikes. There's a lot in that space who are focusing specifically on the kids bike market. So
there's loads of choice from
loads of choice, which is why we put this finder in place to help people go, right, okay, there's so much choice. Where do I start? And we try absolutely. And sort of say, right, these are ones, because some of those brands are much more easy to find secondhand. So we'll sort of say, right, these are good ones to find secondhand. These are the ones you can lease. These are the ones that you can buy new. And these are the prices you would expect to pay for them. So, yeah.
That's brilliant. I mean, does weather affect being able to bike as well?
Yes and no. there's a phrase amongst the cycling community that there's no such thing as the wrong weather for cycling, just the wrong clothing. So you can get yourself completely waterproofed up and wrapped up and go out in most weathers. I mean, obviously there are times when you probably wouldn't want to be going out during weather warnings, that sort of thing. But in general, cycling in the rain and cycling in the winter can be a really, you know, good way to get your kids out from behind the screens. You know, everyone tends to get a bit of cabin fever during the winter. You know, it's like, oh, how do we get out? So going out, experiencing a bit of the elements, experiencing what it's like to be out year round can be a really good way of doing things. Again, with, you know, it's making sure you've got the right equipment. So making sure in the winter, you've got gloves, winter gloves, waterproofs, waterproof top, waterproof trousers, and making sure, especially if you're carrying your child, that they're wrapped up warm, can be a great thing. And I cycled year round with my kids for years and years and years, and I commute all year round as well. It's just making sure when the lights change as well, when the clocks change, making sure you've got the correct lights as well. So that you're visible if you're riding in traffic.
Of course, yeah.
Obviously important.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. I mean, where are the best places to go and safely cycle with children?
Well, I mean, it depends on the age of the child, really. I mean, we've mentioned, your local park can be really good if you've got little ones, you know, and they just like riding around in a circle, or, you know, maybe taking some paths around a local park. Once your child gets a bit older and, you want to go further afield, then looking for traffic-free leisure routes is a really good idea. And depending on how confident you are, sometimes it's useful to start on a flat straight one, where you can travel as far as you want, and you can turn around and come back. So you're not committed to some big loop where you've got to keep going in order to get back to where you started. So that can be a good way to start. Here in the UK, we've got a lot of old railway lines that have been turned into cycling and walking routes. So they are really good places to go with children, because they're traffic free, and obviously because they're trained, the old train lines, they're flat. Another thing to think of, and so a really good route is what I say is especially for younger kids, is any route that's got something really good halfway so that you can say, right, well, we're going to go to whatever it is. Is it a play park? Is it the ice cream shop? Is it a cafe that sells their favorite hot chocolate or whatever? So then they're motivated to get to that point. And then they've got to turn around and come back. And then, you know, they, you promise them something at the end. I mean, I, you know, bribery with young children is always a very good thing, I find. So you've got to motivate them to get there. Or that's got points of interest along the route as well. So finding finding things to keep them occupied and happy as they're going along is, I think, a really important thing.
Fantastic.
Another good place are the forest, national forests. They've got lots of trails. They're a really good place to go as well.
Yeah. Karen, thank you for your time today. It's been brilliant. And people can find the website, CycleSprog. They could just put it in Google and it will probably find
us. It will find us, www.cyclesprog.co.uk.
Fantastic. Thank you again for today.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me, Gavin.
And thank you to our listeners. You know you can find me at GavinJ417 on Instagram. Until next time, take care.